Welcome back. It's the third hour of Issues, Etc. Bob Lico joins us for a bit of a roundup of matters pertaining to the charismatic movement. Some other things, a little more far-flung. We'll be talking about Jan Crouch's recent miracle healing from cancer, how miraculous it really was. We were talking before about the definition of words. We'll also be talking about the definition of the word heresy, and we'll talk a little bit about lordship salvation. Bob Lico is a regular guest here on Issues, Etc. He's a former Word Faith pastor and graduate from Robert Tilton's Bible School. He's co-founder of the Discernment Ministry International, based in Detroit, and editor of the Truth Matters newsletter. I'll tell you a little bit more about that a little later in our conversation. Bob, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Well, thank you, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing well. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Bob, I understand that you recently reprinted an article that I had written originally for the Issues, Etc. journal on responding to real absence arguments. What kind of feedback have you received?
Well, it's been pretty interesting, Todd. That whole issue of Truth Matters, we devoted to looking at the sacrament of the Lord's table, and we looked at it primarily from the evangelical position, Lutheran position, as well as the Reformed and Calvinistic position, which are a lot closer than some people even realize or even want to admit today. But nonetheless, the response was we had several people urge that they be removed from our mailing list, that they were not interested in reading articles of this material and this type. And it was sort of disappointing to me because I had always assumed that our readers were people that were willing to stretch themselves spiritually and intellectually and consider points of view that they might not be currently holding and be willing to examine in the light of Scripture, things that may simply go against what they've been taught to believe. Because one thing that I've learned over the years, many of the things I used to cherish were simply wrong. And I thank God for giving me an open heart and mind that at least I was willing to hear other sides of a debate and by His grace hopefully land on the right side. So I was thankful to reprint your article, and thank you very much for permission to do so. And that was kind of the response.
Well, happy to do that. That kind of kept with our response a little bit. Our response always runs kind of 50-50 to things like that. But I did get a few just to make you feel a little better. I got a few of the journals returned to me. They'd been opened. They'd been read. That article had been read with big red X marks put through it and writing on the cover and X marks through my face and things like that. So we're running in good company together here, I suppose. Did anyone accuse me of being a Roman Catholic?
Well, they said the Lutheran position was nothing but a dressed-up Roman Catholic doctrine in just a little bit different garb. And that tells me several things. A, they didn't read the article closely. B, they don't understand the Roman Catholic position. And C, they're, unwilling to grapple, with issues that are uncomfortable to them, or perhaps they're so rationally minded, and I certainly am not putting down rational thinking, but they don't understand the areas of Scripture where there is mystery, and there are some things that we have to set aside our reason to and simply bow our knee to the authority of the Word of God and say this is what God's Word plainly teaches. Either we stand or fall on that word. And unfortunately, some people were just willing to say, well, that's your interpretation, or that's Mr. Wilkins' interpretation. Jesus, I do this in remembrance of me. This is obviously a memorial, they just did not, closely read through and think through some things.
Speaking of things that make people uncomfortable, one of them is the word heresy. You have recently printed an article in the Truth Matters newsletter dealing with the basic definition of heresy. What did you discover?
Well, it's one thing I've learned, and I've stressed in teaching a class at our seminary this term on cults and world religions, I always tell the students that we have to be careful to define our terms and make sure that we are all on the same page when we're discussing something, because it's vitally important that we have the same definitions of terms. In other words, if I'm talking to a Mormon and I say Jesus, they're thinking the brother of Lucifer, And I'm thinking God the Son, and we're not on the same page, even though we're using the same language. And it's true even with the word heretic and heresy. Paul Crouch was the one that kind of encouraged me to do this article. He called the people that disagreed with him and Dad Hagen and their teachings heresy hunters, heretic hunters. And I thought, well, that's pretty interesting. Maybe we should take a little time to look and see what exactly heresy is. And are we, in fact, heresy hunters, or are we heretics ourselves? And I'm glad to say, yes, we are heresy hunters, which is fine. That's biblical, godly. Doesn't mean we're mean or unloving people. And I'm also glad to say that, nay, we are not heretics, certainly in the biblical sense anyway. Now, Mr. Crouch may think we are because we disagree with him, but that's certainly not what the Bible would say.
How do we define heresy? Can you break it down for us? Because the word does get tossed around to mean many different things, or it's ignored altogether, both of which are a misuse of the word. How should it be rightly used?
Well, there are a lot of ways to look at it. I mean, classically, when you consider heresy in the history of Christianity and the church, most heresies boil down to an error regarding the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's a misunderstanding of his nature and his work, the atonement, you know, the salvation that he's provided by grace through faith. It's usually a twisting of something in that area, classically. But probably a good definition that I got from the author of the article, and I want people to understand that I did not write this article. This is an article that's reprinted by George Gillespie, who was a Reformed theologian. But he defined it this way. He says, heresy is a gross and dangerous error voluntarily held and fatuously maintained by some person or persons within the visible church, in opposition to some chief or substantial truth or truths grounded upon and drawn from the Holy Scripture by necessary consequence. So in other words, heresy is error where a truth of Scripture is plainly taught. Heresy denies that or takes that truth and stretches it so far out of its original set and setting that it's unrecognizable.
So how would it differ from simple error?
Well, error, of course, we all see through a mirror darkly, and so there's no one who teaches certainly perfect doctrine, you know, apart from the Lord himself. But so we all can make errors in our teaching, and we do, but heresy has more to do with a person who is not only just teaching an error, but is drawing other people to follow this error, and even when they're confronted, they refuse to admit that they've been wrong and repent and make change. So along with heresy, you always have division and strife, and you have schism within the church. You have people who, Paul said to the Ephesian elders, for instance, that men, will rise up amongst your own selves who will be speaking perverse things in order to draw away disciples after themselves. So that's sort of where heresy comes in. It's stronger than just error. You know, you may be preaching a sermon Sunday and say something that's, you make a mistake. That doesn't make you a heretic. But if you were to continue to make that mistake and you were approached by other Christian leaders and they said, Brother Todd, Jesus, didn't die spiritually on the cross, and he didn't fight Satan in hell, you shouldn't be teaching that. And you go, oh, no, absolutely, he did. This has been revealed to me. And you start a new church and people follow you and believe that doctrine. Then that's gone way beyond just simple error. You know, you've sort of taken that error and encased it and made it a truth that you're willing to live by or fall by.
So we're talking about something that, in terms of magnitude,
yes,
is not only more serious in terms of how it affects the body of Christ, but also more serious in terms of how it corrupts one's whole teaching and doctrine. For instance, and it's always easier to talk about heresy with for instances.
Sure.
For instance, the heresy of Arianism had both wide-reaching effects on the body of Christ, the division that it caused, but also, even if it had only been held by Arius himself, completely affected everything that he taught, so that error crept into most everything he taught because of that one heresy.
Absolutely, and I think it's, you know, we get the idea from Scripture, certainly, of, in the negative sense, the little leaven leavening the whole loaf. And that's what happens when people really hold on and cherish as truth things that are simply untrue. It does eventually affect their entire outlook of the way they interpret the Scriptures themselves. One thing that Gillespie says, he says, heretics are deceivers and seducers who endeavor to pervert others and overthrow their faith. We see that in 2 Timothy 3:13 and Acts 20:30. It says, all known and noted heretics are also schismatics who make a rupture and strengthen their own party by drawing after them or confirming unto them disciples and followers. And again, that's what we see so often. You mentioned Arianism. Well, you can go back to the Jesus-only movement in about 1914, when shortly after the Azusa revival, there was a man who was at a camp meeting, and he started running through the camp after having a revelation that it was Jesus only, and that there was no God the Father, there was no Trinity. He denied the Trinity. And so out of that, he drew disciples after himself, and we ended up with the United Pentecostal Church, one of the largest, fastest-growing segments of Pentecostalism today. So we can see that the danger of this error is that it can pervert, you know, and overthrow the faith of many people.
Now, there's a personal note for this with you. Not only have you been accused of being a heresy hunter by the likes of Paul Crouch and others, but you have been accused of yourself causing schism and division in the church by pointing out the errors of these prominent teachers. Mm. What really causes schism and division in the church? Is it error or those who point out error?
Well, I think it's the error, obviously, because even as Paul mentioned, he said that there have to be divisions and heresies amongst you, that which is approved, you know, may be made manifest. So there is always going to be error, but then throughout the Word of God, we are continually exhorted to examine, you know, the tree, make sure the fruit is good, make sure the tree's good, look at people's lifestyles. We're warned about false prophets and false teachers and false Christs and false apostles. So all of these warnings are there, and it always tickles me when people will say, "You're causing division, brother," and it's, well, how am I doing that? Well, you're pointing out all these errors and things that, you know, well, you may be right, but how is this bringing glory to God, and how is this leading people to Jesus? Well, people are not led to Christ by error and false doctrine, and by false prophets. I'm not saying that God can't use the foolishness of preaching through these reprobate vessels, but, you know, God dwells in truth. He is truth. And so by simply making a stand for truth, we're making a stand for the true unity of the church.
Let's talk a little bit about Jan Crouch. She has been suffering from, I believe it was colon cancer.
Yes.
And she recently had an announcement. What did she announce?
Well, she announced to her TBN family, in fact, I'll give you a quote. She says, "Sweet family, we have had a miracle. I am healed of cancer. All that I can do is praise, worship, rejoice, shout, and cry." Actually, according to the TBN ministry, she had three types of cancer. And apparently, according to her testimony, she is completely cancer-free today. And she has been declaring almost every evening on TBN that she has been miraculously healed by God of her cancer. And as I say in our article, and I'll tell the listeners, first of all, we rejoice that she's healed. I'm not saying she's not. I trust she is. We believe that Jesus Christ heals people according to his sovereign good pleasure. And we're thankful that in fact she's doing better. We rejoice with her in that. But we do question very seriously the fact that she's using the term miracle to describe what's happened to her.
All right. Would you deny that miracles can occur?
I would not deny that they can occur, but I would put a caveat on that, and I'll give your listeners some homework. If they start from Genesis and go through the book of the Revelation, and they just make a little chart with three columns, the first column they write down the person who God used to work a miracle, then the type of miracle it was, and the third column the purpose of that miracle. I'll give them a hint. They're going to have a very short list. Miracles are just that, miraculous. They are not the norm. When they become the norm, they cease to be miraculous. But yes, God could certainly work miracles today. Did he do one in Jan's life? Absolutely not. From their own testimony, it's not a miracle.
Okay, tell us about that.
Well, on their website, they were finally disclosing to their followers that Jan was sick. On May 20th, according to the TBN website, it says, after running a battery of tests, the bad news is mom has colon cancer. This is obviously why she was losing blood from her system. The good news is it was very localized and easily operable. She will be going into surgery tomorrow or Thursday. So that was May 20th. Then May 21st, it says, mom is out of surgery and back in her room. May 28th, it says, mom is home and doing great. She's recovering well from surgery. Nothing in these updates mention a miracle. She went to the doctor. She received surgery. She received some form of invasive medical treatment. And then for the next 5 months, for another five months, we never heard a thing about what was going on in Jan's life, what type of treatments she was undergoing. Jan declared on TBN one night that she was using herbs and natural homeopathic remedies that God had supplied, and that had healed her. She never mentioned the surgeries or any other type of medical treatment. So I'm sorry, if you go through surgery, that's not a miracle. If you're diagnosed with cancer on Monday, and Tuesday you go back to the doctor and the cancer's totally gone, and your system is 100% restored, then I would say God has miraculously healed that person.
Now, you're not denying that God did in fact heal her via the agency of the good doctors and whatever other kind of medication
you
might have been taking.
God uses those means all the time.
You're just questioning this kind of unqualified use of the loose use of the word miracle.
Right, because she's giving the impression that she has received from the hand of God some special divine intervention into the natural course and affairs of life that has restored her to perfect health, apart from the use of medical science. And she's contradicting what their own website has up as of today. People can go and read these things about her getting surgery. So I see a disconnect there, and I think that can mislead some people, and it may be dangerous for them because they may say, well, God is no respecter of persons. He's touched Jan Crouch and given her a miracle, and she prayed and fasted, and all these people prayed and fasted and sought the Lord for her, and he heard her cry, and he touched her body and healed her. Well, then I don't need to go through chemotherapy either. I don't want to go through radiation treatment. I don't want to have something cut out or removed from my body. So I'm going to be like Jan and just believe the Lord, and I'm going to take some of these herbs and spices and natural remedies that are really not recognized by the FDA, but, you know, if it worked for Jan, then it'll work for me. And, in fact, Jan tells people they can get their miracle, too. And she talks about how people could do certain things to receive their miracle healing just like she did. And that is bad theology, and it's bad advice, because she cannot promise or guarantee that God is going to work a miracle in anyone's life, including her own. But that's standard charismatic teaching. I mean, there are hundreds of books written out there on how to move the hand of God and Oral Roberts written several books on A Miracle a Day, and all of this is out there, but they just simply don't understand what a miracle really is.
With the minutes left before we go to this break here, why would Jan Crouch be interested in using the term miracle loosely here when it is obviously public knowledge that she did have surgery?
Well, I think that there are two possibilities. If she's going to declare that she has received a miracle, it could be that she's saying that simply out of biblical ignorance, which is possible. Or it could be a means to promote herself as an especially chosen and anointed vessel, meaning that she's too important to the future of God's kingdom to be allowed to die or to pass away. So in essence, God is sort of obligated to work a miracle for Jan because she's doing this great and mighty important work for our Lord. And so, you know, she needs to be up and about doing his will.
Let's go to the phones real quickly here before we go to our break. Bob Lico is our guest, and on the line, Darlene is calling from St. Louis. Darlene, welcome.
Good evening, gentlemen. Mr. Lico, this hits so close to home. But one small point I want to also bring out in this, the progression in this scenario will be the next step, as you well know, will be that this happened to her because the enemy attacked her.
Yes.
But if it happened to me and you sitting in the pew, it's because we're in sin.
Yeah, we probably have some hidden sin, or we're in unbelief, or, you know, we touch God's anointed. They have a lot of reasons why it would happen to someone like you and myself. But when you're someone like a Joyce Meyer, who actually also had cancer but got medical treatment, or some big speaker, then that's because they're so important. The devil's attacking them, and you and I, we're not that important, so obviously we sinned. And you're absolutely right, and that's just bad teaching, and it puts a lot of guilt and a burden unfairly and unjustly on the shoulders of the sheep of God.
Now, on the face of it, it sounds like something of a double standard, Bob.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're talking with Bob Lico. He is a former Word Faith pastor and graduate of Robert Tilton's Bible School, co-founder of Discernment Ministry International. Based in Detroit, he's editor of the Truth Matters newsletter. Let's see, we've talked about heresy, talked about Jan Crouch's alleged healing from cancer. When we come back, a few minutes, wrapping up the conversation on Jan Crouch, and we'll talk a bit about Lordship Salvation. 10 minutes on the other side of this break with Bob Lico. Our call-in numbers, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. That's always struck me as odd. And I wonder how it would work if, you know, I would try something like that. Let's say I've been having the sewer problem at my house. I really have. And folks, I could come on the air and I could say, the reason I have sewer problems is because the devil is attacking me and my whole household. He's attacking us from below. It's coming up, and there it is. It's the devil's attack on us. Or, you know, maybe, just maybe, I've got grease in my pipes. We'll be right back.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production salaries and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172. Or you can donate by check, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc.
Ten Commandments, banned from public display.
Answers with Ken Ham, author of the powerful book, Genesis and the Decay of the Nations. Well, Ken, we've been hearing disturbing news about the removal of the Ten Commandments from public places throughout America. What's going on?
Well, I certainly do share people's frustration about the dismantling of these symbols in America. You know, this country is generally considered the most Christian nation in the world today. Well, first, a stone monument of the Ten Commandments was removed from a school in Ohio. A friend in Britain even sent me a heart-wrenching photo from his newspaper. Then a few weeks later, another monument was removed from a judicial building in Alabama. You know, Christians have every reason to find this disturbing. But in the process, it's easy to miss an even more disturbing problem. In fact, the church, by and large, seems to be blind to this. If they saw this problem, not only would it help to explain why these bad things are happening in America, but it's the key to explaining what the church should do to begin repairing the damage to the culture. Well, what do I mean? Well, you see, the removal of the Bible from schools and courthouses is only a symptom of a greater problem. It's a loss of respect for the authority of the Bible as a whole. And where did this loss of respect begin? Well, I'm ashamed to say it began in the church. For many generations now, the church has rejected the history in Genesis as literally true. And now our Western cultures have lost respect for all of the Bible.
Ken Ham has all kinds of free booklets available on our website, answersradio.com.
AM 850, KFUO weather for St. Louis. Tonight, clear, low of about 26, and Tuesday, partly cloudy, high of about 52. Going to be a bit warmer tomorrow. Right now in St. Louis, it's clear and 36. And our last look at St. Louis traffic, westbound 40 between Kings Highway and Hanley, stop-and-go traffic there. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and Hanley, some stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 270 between West Florissant and McDonald Boulevard, slow traffic in pockets there. Southbound 170 between Club Tower and 40, some slow traffic. Westbound 44 between Shrewsbury and Laclede Station, some slow traffic. Northbound 170 at North Hanley, heavy traffic there. Let's take a look at the bridges. Eastbound 40 between Jefferson and the Poplar Street Bridge, some slow traffic. Northbound 55 between Park Avenue and the Poplar Street Bridge, slow traffic in the right lane. And eastbound 70 between Salisbury and 6th, some slow traffic there. That's traffic and weather on AM 850 KFUO.
If you can get it early enough, because you have shared it with your child, the innocence is there.
Adolescent children and the inevitable talk about life.
The only time I remember my dad talking to me about these things was a very embarrassing one-time shot when he was putting away the laundry.
How parents can prepare for it on the next Focus on the Family.
Weekdays at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
Welcome back. 10 more minutes left in Issues Etc. today. Bob Lico is our guest. We're going to talk a little bit about Lordship Salvation. This is from a previous Truth Matters newsletter in just a minute, but I want to wrap up our conversation talking about Jan Crouch's supposed miracle healing. I guess the saddest thing about this, Bob, is that whether it's the double standard that Darlene mentioned before we went to the break, or the kind of continued playing fast and loose with the term miracle, the people who follow this and are devoted to this are going to be willing to give her a pass on both counts.
Oh, absolutely. And she goes on in on her website and on television of saying the purpose for her miracle is this, that one reason is you've got to have a dramatic kingdom purpose in your life. She said, I've had my miracle to share it with everyone I meet, to get my smile of a child projects done. That's her dramatic kingdom purpose. And see that everything God shares with me to do, I do it. Well, the smile of a child project, Todd, for those who don't know, is a year-round effort which Jan collects toys and gives them to poor children around the world. To me, when you consider the fact that there are millions, tens of millions of children that don't even have decent drinking water, giving them a Barbie doll, which you can see on the website, a picture of Jan doing, seems a little weak and a little vapid and a little tepid as far as a genuine kingdom purpose. I mean, it's nice to give a needy child a toy, but I'm sure they would prefer some shoes or a warm meal or a roof over their head, which apparently Jan's not interested in providing. But that's why she received her miracle. And she says if people will simply confess it with their mouth and ask God for it, and if they've got a kingdom purpose, then they'll get their miracle too. And I'm sorry, that is so destructive to people who are struggling with some form of illness or terminal illness, their family members, when that person perhaps succumbs to their illness. Did that mean that their husband, wife, daughter, or child, they had no real purpose in the kingdom of God? Is that why God allowed them to die and allows Jan to live, that she can pass out Barbie dolls to hungry and needy children? It's just very sad, the whole situation. And as you say, though, the people that support TBN and support Jan will certainly believe that she's received a miracle and continue to support them.
Now, explain this to me, because we just recently had a special report series in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.
Yeah, I read those.
On Joyce Meyer.
And yes,
I'm glad you did read them. And the same kind of scenario seems to work here. And let me see if I can just put it in a nutshell and have you explain it to me. I'm an evangelist. I go out and I spend most of my time soliciting money from my followers and tailoring my teaching pretty much toward that ask for the money, through merchandising, through direct gifts and things like that. I'm really kind of shameless. I don't turn down any gift, including people's, anniversary diamond pendants and things like that.
Right.
All right. Gifts of stock, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I spend that money to live a lavish lifestyle. I turn around and I tell people, the way you can know that I'm a true teacher of God is because I live a lavish lifestyle.
Because God made me rich.
Right. God made me rich. Now, explain to me how this, just in terms of the sheer reality of the situation, that is, what made me rich was asking for your money,
right,
not my teaching. Why is it that people buy into this?
Well, I think that there's partial blindness on their part. They want to believe that it's true because the teaching follows the concept that, look, I give money to you because you're good ministry soil, and so by giving you money, God is going to bless me. And so by looking at someone who is as powerful and influential and internationally known as Joyce Meyer has become, by giving her money, I'm putting my money in fertile field, in good soil. And so I'm going to be blessed with 30, 60, or 100-fold or times my giving, because I'm planting the money in, obviously, a field that is producing great fruit, i.e. her lavish lifestyle and that of her sons and daughters. What I found interesting, Todd, and I hope someone listening is going to take advantage of this, since they're in that thin area, for their knowledge, Joyce Meyer is incorporated as a church. She does not meet the IRS definition of a church. She does not meet the biblical definition of a church. Ergo, I think if whoever is following the money in her case has grounds to see to it that she loses her tax-exempt status. Certainly, providing the homes and transportation for herself and her family members, who are, of course, her top members of her board of directors as well, her husband and sons and daughters and things. But that's what they think. She's doing well, and so if I'm giving money to somebody who's obviously prospering, then I'm going to prosper.
We've only got a few minutes here before we have to go, Bob. You recently wrote an article called Why Call Me Lord in the Truth Matters newsletter on Lordship Salvation.
Mm-hmm.
What problem were you addressing in a nutshell?
Well, I don't have that issue in front of me, but as I remember it, Jesus is saying to his followers, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you? And it seems that there is a lot of lip service within the church today by people who want to call Jesus their Lord and yet simply do not want to be obedient to what he commands us to do in the Scriptures. In other words, it's not a question of doing certain works to obtain or merit salvation, but when someone has received salvation, when they have been genuinely converted by the Spirit of God, good works are going to follow. They're going to have a heart and a desire to do those things that are pleasing in the sight of God. And of course, we all fail. We fail daily, and frankly, sometimes, myself included, fail miserably. But nonetheless, God has placed within us a new heart. And he's given us a heart of flesh and a heart that desires to do that which is pleasing to Christ. And yet we see a lot of people in church today who, you know, they simply want the benefits of being considered a Christian and yet don't want to produce any of the fruit that should naturally be produced out of a life of someone who's been genuinely converted.
At the same time, there's an error on the other side of the spectrum that says, well, you can have Jesus as your Savior, but not as your Lord, and it sets up a false two-tier Christianity, doesn't it?
Well, you have the concept then of the carnal Christian, and you've got the one who has gone on a little further and who is on fire for Christ, and they're the ones that are really going to be reaping the rewards. I don't see that two-tier division anywhere in the Bible. I don't see someone having Jesus as Savior and then another group of people that have Jesus as Lord. Either he's Lord or he's not. And I think in our culture today, and certainly in America, being the independent type people that we are, we sort of take offense that, what do you mean, you know, I love Jesus, but I don't want him to get in my business. You know, I mean, the Bible's an old book. It's dusty, and I want to go to heaven, but hey, now let's. What do you mean? Pick up your cross and die to yourself? You know that doesn't fit my lifestyle. That takes me outside my comfort zone, and so people have a very anemic faith or relationship with Christ, if they have a genuine one at all relationship at all with him.
Bob Liko, thank you very much for being our guest again on Issues Etc.
Well, thank you, Pastor Todd.
Bob Liko is a former Word Faith pastor, a graduate from Robert Tilton's Bible School, a co-founder of Discernment Ministry International based in Detroit, and editor of the Truth Matters newsletter. You can check out the website for Discernment Ministry International by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the links with regular guests, and you'll find a direct link to Bob Liko and Discernment Ministry International. Or if you'd like information on how to receive Bob's Truth Matters newsletter, call area code 313-446-1761, 313 area code 446-1761. Tomorrow on the program, should you believe in the Watchtower? We'll talk with Joy Vino of Midwest Christian Outreach, and we'll also visit with the author of the new book, Sharing Your Faith with a Buddhist. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. Jesus is Savior and Lord. To have him as the one who put his life on the cross for you is to have him as the only way he is our Lord, as our Savior from sin. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.